All right. Man, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was mighty good. This Sunday, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. Looking into God's Word, Colossians chapter 2. And Colossians chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 6. If you'll stand with me, we'll read it together, and then we'll see what God has for us through the Word, okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and it begins this way. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Thank you. Have a seat. Lord, we want to thank You and praise You. First of all, Lord, we just had just a fantastic time. Just now, just worshiping and praising Your name. And Lord, it was just so, so beautiful to hear so many people with so much passion lift up their voices to praise You as their Savior and as their Lord. And I thank You for that. I thank You for the blessing and the grace that You gave us to experience that here this morning. And now, Lord, we're going into Your Word. And our desire, Lord, is to draw near to You, to be changed by You. And You have given us great instruction and great challenge in Your Word, Lord. It is beyond us. Everything in this book only reaffirms the one thing that we've come to know as Christians, which is that it is all beyond us and nothing that we can do. But we're reminded again through this passage, Lord, that there is nothing that is impossible for You, even the accomplishing of these tasks in Your people. And so, Lord, we ask that You would take Your Word, plant the seed deep in the fertile soil of our hearts, and, Lord, may it take a deep root, may it grow powerfully, and may it just become just a sign of Your work in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in this particular passage of Colossians chapter 2 is what we're going to look at and what we're going to highlight is this, guys, is that As a Christian, God wants you to walk with Him, and God wants you to follow Him all the days of your life. That's what God wants for you. He has saved you, and He has called you to follow Him. Now, if you wanna know with what level of passion and desire that God wants you to do this, just only need to think of the price that He paid to purchase this new life for you to follow Him with. And that was His Son. And we're celebrating Christmas when Christ came to the earth. We're celebrating the fact that when He came, He willingly died. And we look at all this and we look into this passage and we say, okay, God, You did something here that is beyond me, something that I can't understand why You would do it. And when I look at this passage and I think about the truth of the gospel, and if you really begin to ask yourself the question, why would God do anything for us? You will not come up with an easy answer. The Bible says He did it because of love, and that's the only explanation we really get. It is the love of God that does this, that acts this way towards us. It is not something we earn. It is not something we can do on our own. And that's very, very important. But you know, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, no doubt you have experienced something very similar to the way that I have experienced it. It is that you embark on this spiritual journey of life, and this new spiritual journey of life with Jesus is just riddled with difficulty. It is not easy. And as you walk down the difficult road, especially as far as the struggles that you have on a daily basis with your own failures and trying to follow Christ, yet not finding yourself following Christ, as wanting to do what He calls you to do and yet knowing you can't do it and then trying to do it and failing. You know, so many times we try to do so many things on our own. And He opens up this section here that we're just a little brief picture out of Colossians we're going to look at today. And He says in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." You know, the call of God's life, God's call on your life is like this. It works in the same way as His saving call came into your life. I don't know if you remember what it was like the day you got saved. And I hope you do. I hope you remember some of that. And it's okay if you don't. But I hope you do. But one thing I want you to remember and reflect back on is when you got saved, you didn't get saved because somebody presented this irrefutable argument that won your logical and reasoning side over. That's not what did it. You didn't hear something that was so eloquent that you couldn't help yourself. You had to give over to it. That's not what happened. What happened is you were sitting somewhere or standing somewhere and you were as spiritually dead as you could possibly be. And the Spirit of the living God breathed life into your dead spiritual soul. And you heard the gospel for the first time, because you might have heard it 1,000 times before that. But dead people don't respond when you talk to them. And that's what was going on. And the Spirit of God woke you up, and He gave you ears to hear, and He awoke faith in you. And as you heard the gospel message, you couldn't help it. I mean, I remember that. That's one of the things I remember about the day that I got saved. I was compelled to get saved. I mean, it wasn't me. I didn't create something in myself. God did something to me sitting in Norlina, North Carolina, of all ungodly places, and sitting there and seeing God just say, "Hey, I'm calling you mine." And I said, "Wow." I was just in 93, I was a carried in one, I was 11. And it's the second time I've had to do the math for that this morning. But listen, I was 11. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was the most real thing I've ever experienced in my life. God did that. And that's the way I received Christ. Christ came to me. Christ woke me up. And Christ breathed into me the message of the gospel, and I responded. And what I want you to see is, in the same way you received Christ, so walk in Him. In other words, if you're going to be just successful in the Christian walk, in the Christian life, you're not going to be able to do it by calling on your own resources and your own strengths to be able to accomplish what God has called you to do. You will never accomplish all that God has for you if you only ever work by your own strength. And I don't mean you will sometimes and sometimes you won't. I mean you'll never do it. What I want you to see and think about is this. He says, you know, I want you to walk in Him in the same way you received Him. And then let's look at the way that He puts this in the next thing. He uses a couple of words to call up word pictures into our minds. And the first one is rooted. And I want you to know that you and I have to absolutely be totally rooted in Christ to be able to do what God's called us to do. If you're going to follow Jesus, you will only do it if you're rooted in Christ. Rooting reminds me of two important things. The roots go deep into the soil to draw out the nutrients that it needs for the plant to thrive. If you want your Christian walk to thrive, you better send your roots deep into Jesus. You send them anywhere else, they won't do anything. You scatter them over the top, it won't do anything. But drive those roots deep into Jesus. And then what happens is you will begin to draw all the strength and all the nutrients and everything that you need to be able to flourish into the person that God has planned for you to be. He's created works for you to do before you were ever born. And He's got those things lined out for you. But you've got to drive deep your roots into Him, or else you won't have any strength to be able to do them. Now, I also see that the roots are the thing that keep the plant from falling over. If you take a 60-foot pine tree and you take its roots out from underneath it, the first storm that comes by, the tree will fall. But if you've ever seen a pine tree, those things are tough. You know why? Because they've got a big old tap root on the bottom of that thing that is just bored down into the ground. And as that top sits up there and waves in the storm, the root holds fast and it holds that tree. And what he's saying is you're going to have to, as a Christian, you're going to have to root in deeply to Jesus, not just for nourishment, but you won't make it any other way. And what I think about in that is this. How many times in your life have you longed to get rid of some sinful practice that rears its ugly head all too often in your own life? And you spent so much time and so much energy fighting it, but you didn't fight rooted in Christ. And sometimes, listen, you can have the greatest success in the world for a period of time, but then it comes back. Why? Because it wasn't rooted in Christ where you were fighting from. You were fighting in your own strength. Have you ever experienced victory over something for a period of time only to watch that diminish and fall away? You know why? Because it wasn't rooted in Christ. Your fight wasn't rooted in Christ. You're going to have to just bore in your roots into Christ. Just imagine, you know, if you take the hardest ground that you can think of in the world and you set a seed in there, what will happen? Not much. Not much. And so you know what we need? We need tender hearts so that this can happen, so that this work of God can begin to happen in us. But listen, when you take your life, you say, God, I'm not tender-hearted. God, I'm hard-headed. I'm fighting you. I'm trying to do this all on my own. He says, okay, take all that you're trying to do and root it in me and watch what happens. And what will happen is God will begin to give you the strength and the nourishment that you need to be able to go forward. But He'll also give you the tying in of the root system so you'll be able to endure the waves that will come back and come back and come back, okay? So if you're going to walk with Jesus, you got to be rooted. What else do you need to be? You need to be built up. And built up in Jesus. You know, if you build a house, you better have a good foundation, right? You absolutely better have a good foundation. But let me just give you another secret that you need to know as a Christian. Don't just think He's the foundation layer. Because if you take a great foundation and you turn an unskilled carpenter loose on it, I ain't gonna live in that house. I'm not gonna do it. When the wind blows and you can feel it coming in through the corner, when the snow falls and so does the roof, when you plug something in over here and it starts a fire in the next room, you know you've not had a good job done, okay? But what happens is, if you and I would begin to realize that all too often the way that we try to approach our Christian lives and our own strength is, we say, Jesus is my foundation, and I'm going to build my Christian life on top of Him. The problem is, you're not a certified general contractor of godly lives. Jesus alone is. And He's got the ability and the know-how and the resources to build you up into this great, beautiful, wonderful Christian life and example and glory to Him. But you and I don't have that ability. Have you ever seen a small child join in on a construction project? You know, there's no, you won't go down here to the nearest Wynn Homes building project site and see three-year-olds with their tool belts on and saying, I'll take the kitchen. You won't see it. You won't see it. At least not for long anyway. But you won't see that. And the reason why is because they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the resources, and they simply do not have the ability to do such a monumental task. And what he's reminding us here is this. It is not that God is calling on us to become more self-sufficient. It is that he is calling on us to realize how insufficient we are to accomplish the task that he desires for us to do. And if we're going to do it, it is going to have to be that we say, not only are you the foundation, not only are you the architect of my Christian life, but you're the general contractor who will carry out all phases of construction. And that's the way that we have to begin to look at it. Have to remember that we are built up, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith. He says you are established in the faith. You know, go back to when you were saved. You remember accepting Christ. You remember that you just were overwhelmed by this. Do you guys remember how it felt when you got saved? Man, I remember it. I just remember what it was like. And I remember one of the things being, I just remember God's Spirit working in me in a way that I couldn't explain by anything other than the God that I believed in was real, he was alive, and he was working in me. I didn't have any other explanation for it. But you know, as I grew as a Christian, there was an overwhelming desire in me to try to take the reins back, just like all of us struggle with. And when I wanted those reins back, I began to forget that I was not meant to try to show God what I could do for him. I was meant to be an example of what God could do through somebody. That's who you are too. Did you know that? You're not meant. God didn't save you because the kingdom of God would be lost if he had not had your talents. God saved you because you will stand as this brilliant, beautiful sight of what God can do when a life is in his hands being shaped and molded by him. And some of you guys, you're just beautiful, beautiful examples of that. But you know, we all struggle. And we all just want those reins back. We want that control back. And what happens there is we're not being established in faith. Hebrews 11:6, one of the greatest verses of the Bible, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's two things there, folks. Faith shows up like that. He says you're established in the faith. You know what you need to do to be established in the faith? You got to continually go back in your heart and mind and say, the God that I believe in of the Bible, the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he exists. He exists. And listen, there are plenty of voices right now today that would gladly walk in here and say, he does not exist. But you know what? I've met people who've been wrong before. They're wrong. He exists. You say, how do you know for sure that he exists? I can tell you this very simply. I've never seen him. We've never had a normal conversation. But more real to me than your presence today has been the presence of Jesus Christ in my life on multiple times in my life. It's undeniable to me. And that is established in that faith. And so I've got to believe that he exists. But you know what else I got to believe? I got to believe that going after him, following after him in his ways, there is a reward at the end of that. You guys not care? You guys don't care about reward. You guys are just only in it to be perfectly pious Christians, right? Listen, you go after reward. You know why? Because the God that made you designed you to do that. You go after God, and you need to believe that God rewards following him. He says if you don't believe that, you don't have genuine faith. If you don't have genuine faith, you can't please God. You're going to please God, you better seek him as the reward that you so desperately want. Listen, you know why you get up and you go to work all the time? You get up and go to work because you get a paycheck, the reward. And you're like, I wouldn't go to work. How many of you would stop going to work next week if they said, there's no paycheck next week? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But when you see this, listen, what I want you to think about is this. You've got to be established in that faith. It has to be faith, 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 faith. It can't be, okay, God, I think I've figured out and reasoned out how to deal with this. I think I've figured out a way in my own strength to make this go away. He says, no, come to me in faith. Build everything you're going to do in your Christian life on faith that I can accomplish it in you. And then we'll see tremendous, tremendous things happen. He says, you're established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. In other words, that faith is the message that Paul taught everywhere he went. He didn't teach another message. The message that Paul taught everywhere that he went was that you need Jesus and you cannot do anything without Jesus. Without Jesus, you have no hope. You have no hope of salvation. You have no hope of obedience to Christ. You have no hope of anything. And without Him, you're hopeless. But with Him, all things are possible. He said that somewhere once. Now, abounding in it. Well, I tell you what. Have you ever had a moment where you just had faith that God was going to come through? You just knew it. Man, you just knew it in your spirit. I remember our first year here. The church was still figuring out some financial things and different things. And I was working at UPS. And the church's package they could offer was $19,500. That's what they had. When we came here, we had been here a few weeks. And I was working at night, so I was always tired and everything was working out like that for me. And Aaron and I talked, and I said, you know, we just can't do this. Split. And so God led us, and we walked away. I walked away from UPS. Walked away from all our health insurance, all of our benefits, and more money than I was making here, making there. And we came here, and for the next year, $19,500 supported a family of six to the point that we got done with the year. And I kid you not, we looked back over everything. We had spent more than $19,500. And I didn't owe anybody anything. God provided all of it as we needed it. Not only that, but God, you know how God says, I'm able to do above and beyond what you can imagine or think? We also went on vacation that year. How are you going to explain that? God said, trust me. And by God's grace, we trusted Him. And there was no reason why we should make it on $19,500. We got to the end of that year, and we had more than made it. We had lived like kings and queens on $19,500 because God said, trust me, and I will make it happen. That's God. What else are you going to say to that? I mean, we looked at that. We looked at our lives and said, okay, that's God. But I want you to know, listen, I don't want to just have one or two examples of my life where I point at and I go, man, at that moment I lived by faith. I want to abound in living by faith. I want to wake up and say, God, I don't have any clue what you're going to do today, but I'm going to trust you that today is yours and that I'm yours and that you're going to take care of both of them. Let's go. That's what I want to be like. It's want to abound in that faith. You know what, too? Man, I'm going to tell you right now. When you're trusting and walking by faith, you're a lot more thankful than you are when you're trying to walk on your own. You know why? Because when you're trying to walk on your own, you have a sense of accomplishment for everything you've done. And so instead of being thankful that it got done, you walk around strutting like a peacock with all your feathers fanned out. Saying, hey, I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but this is what I did. None of y'all do that, I see. All right. Just ignore that. That wasn't for anybody but me. But you just see that. You just got to be that in that thankful mode. Man, when you're living by faith, when you see God just provide, man, I'll tell you, let me just give you another example. You guys as a church have been loving on, providing for and encouraging a family through Human Coalition. And Aaron got a call or a text and said, the couch that we were expecting to have when we were going to move in is just gone. They're not going to have it anymore. They don't have it anymore for us. We don't have a couch. And before Erin could ever do anything about it, she talked to God about it. Before she could ever send out a notice, before she ever sent out a text or an email or any just desire for a couch, she got a message from Austin and Hannah that said, "Hey, we got this couch we need to get rid of. Do you know anybody that needs it?" To which Erin said, "No, not really. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding." What happened there, right there at that moment, is that was put in the hands of God. And God responded. And I want you to know, and my wife calls me in tears of excitement to tell me about that. Why? Because she was rejoicing with thankfulness. Because she walked in faith, and God did what God does when you walk in faith, because it pleases Him, and He rewarded it, and it was a praise moment. Some of the reason y'all ain't praising so much is because y'all ain't walking in faith so much. All right? That was free, all right? Pull your feet up. That one don't hurt. Verse 8. Oh, but beware. Beware. This whole message applies to everybody. But if there's any part of this message I would hammer home to our youth and our young people, it is this part. Beware. There are 10 million voices that will come into your life, and they will tell you that the answer to what your life should be about is something other than Jesus. There's a reason why the people who are a little bit older than you in the youth group, they're walking out of the church when they turn 18, 19. They're going off to college, and they're walking away from the faith. You know why? Because somebody came along and said, "What you need isn't Jesus. What you need is this, or this, or this." And they laid out some options in front of them. And listen, they came and they sounded smart. They came and they sounded passionate and excited about it. And they laid it all out as though it were just worth so much. But what Paul says is it was empty deceit. Think about this. The people who recruit you to anything other than Jesus are currently living for something that isn't satisfying them. And they're recruiting you to it, hoping it will bring somehow satisfaction to them too. Look at the world that we live in. Some of the most sought after people, some of the most sought after desires in this world are to be famous and to be rich. Yet our famous and our rich are morally bankrupt and some of the most unhappy people in all of the world. Amen. They are not satisfied. Why? Because what they're seeking after is all totally empty. I don't care what the outside label on the bottle looks like. If you turn it up and nothing comes out, it will not satisfy your thirst. Okay? And so how does then we look at this? He says, listen, they get in there. They're deceiving you. They got you with this love of knowledge. They're smarter than everybody else. You need to listen to them. But they're going to cheat you right out of what matters. Why? Because they're going to bring to you the ideas and the principles of man and lay them before you. And they're going to say, listen, I know what's in control. You don't need Christ. You need this. And Paul says that's a deceitful line. That's a deceitful tactic. And you guys know it. You older generation, if you're not currently investing in our younger people to tell them that that's the way life is going to be, then you need to wake up and get a little bit busier about how you help the people of this church. Okay? You younger people, I know it's uncool to listen to me. I get it. I get it. Y'all wear shoes, and I don't even know why you wear them. Because they're just weird looking. You have hairstyles that I'll never understand. And that's okay. It's okay. You know, not everybody can have the coolest hair in town. What matters is, that doesn't matter. What matters is this. Don't listen to me because I'm me. Don't listen to one of these older people, older than you, that in this church because that's just who they are. Listen to them when they come to you with the words of life of Jesus and they tell you, put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus. Okay? But somebody's going to come along in your life at some point and they're going to say, hey, you don't want to put all your eggs in Jesus. You want to put a few over here, and over here. And the Bible tells you, and the Bible will warn you, that that's empty, it's vain, and it'll crush you in the end. Now, how is Christ different in every way? Okay? In Him, that is Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So here, Paul says, imagine with me for a second. Say, listen, they're offering you all of these things. And Paul says, and I'm offering you the God over all of those things. Okay? Listen, there is no comparison. There is no comparison. Let's just think about the way that these things work out. In regular everyday life, everything that you pour your life into of this world is absolutely and totally useless in long term. Okay, you can have a brand new car, but eventually brand new cars become junk cars. You can have a brand new house, but one day it'll be like that house you see about halfway down Clifton Pond Road. You know which one I'm talking about if y'all ever go down Clifton Pond. It's just nothing but the studs of the wall just hanging up there. That was probably a beautiful house, or was going to be, and now look at it. It's nothing. You know why? Because you can invest everything you've got. And parents, listen to me, please. Don't teach your kids to invest everything they have in a money-making future. What a waste of their life to chase money that has never made anybody happy, but has turned into a root of all kinds of evil in many, many hearts. Don't teach them that. Young people, all the money in the world, and you know what you would want? $10 more. All the money in the world, you would want $10 more. Now, how is Christ different than that? Christ is different because Christ is inexhaustible. If you had some money, you would want more money. If you had a house, you'd want a bigger house. If you had a car, you'd want a faster car. If you had a truck, you'd want a bigger truck. If you had this, you'd want more. If you had that, you'd want more. If you were in a relationship, you'd see a better one. If you were not in a relationship, you'd want that relationship back. And all these different things, but they will never fully satisfy because there's not enough in them. It's just not enough in them. Even our entire universe, scientifically, our universe is winding down. That means we're losing energy, losing power in the universe. Stars are dying. All this is happening. And you know why? Because it's not unlimited. What is? God is. And so with Jesus is this unlimited power who comes in and He says, all right, I can supply all that you want for forever. That's pretty incredible. That's why you should pour your life into Him. But not only is He able to supply all that you would want for forever, but also look at verse 10. And you are complete in Him, that is Christ. Not only is He all, but when He is in you as your Savior, you're complete in Him. You know, years ago, there was a movie that I don't recommend anybody watch named Jerry Maguire. And it had one captivating line, right? The guy who had been a jerk the whole entire movie comes back, walks up on a porch and says, or walks into the living room and says, you complete me. And some reason, the girl fell for him, even though he was clearly a jerk. But anyway, but what I want you to see in that is what was happening right there in that moment. The reason that so many people gravitated towards that movie and that particular line was simple. It was because people understood that they are incomplete, and they're looking for something to complete them. Okay? There has been many a lady that I've ever talked to that she felt incomplete because she didn't have a guy. Many guys I have talked to, they felt incomplete because they didn't have a lady. They felt incomplete because they didn't have this house. Or they felt incomplete because they didn't have these things. They just felt incomplete. And what Paul says is, in Christ, you're complete. You have all that you would ever need. All that you would ever truly desire in Christ has been totally provided for you in Christ. Now, think about this for a second. Think about what that means. if I said to you, go buy this particular bottle of water, and no matter how much you drink out of it, it'll never run dry, what would you say? Yeah, that's a good bottle of water to invest in, isn't it? If I said to you, take a bite of this food, you'll be full the rest of your life, how would that be? Willy Wonka nearly made a fortune on everlasting gobstoppers. They never ran out. You and I have to realize that the reason we fall and we feel so broken and insufficient is not because of a failure in Christ. It is because we have access to a never-ending well, to all-satisfying fulfillment, and we still turn and go to something that is not satisfying, something that is not eternal, and we try to find the same kind of fulfillment. It doesn't work that way. And so when we're getting off on our own, what we're doing is we're just going in the wrong direction, seeking that fulfillment in the wrong place, and it fails, and it just fails miserably. But he says, it doesn't have to be that way. In Christ, you have all you could ever need. All you could ever need. He says, you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He's ending this particular section by saying, the one who completes you is over everything. He's over everything. There is no one who says to him, you must do this, and he has to answer. He is the one who speaks, and they obey. And that's something you need to have as a constant comfort in your mind. Now, if you'll bow your heads with me for just a few moments, I want to have a time of invitation, and it's really quite simple. It's really quite straightforward. If you're a Christian, you have received Christ Jesus as your Savior, you need to walk with Jesus. That walking can only be accomplished by being rooted in Christ, by being driven deep into Christ, by letting him be the architect and general contractor of your life, by letting and knowing that he is the only satisfaction that will ever be true and fulfilling, by knowing that you must be aware of those who would bring a different kind of word to you. And this morning, what I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you, are you willing to walk with God according to God's way of walking with him? If you are, will you, by faith, step out of your seat and come up here to this altar and begin to speak and pray with your God and tell him that you know he's the only satisfaction, he's the only way it can be possible, and you want to walk with him, but you know you can't do it on your own. Some of you, man, you're just so disgusted and you're so frustrated. You're just so worn out. You're just so broken by what's going on. You know what God is saying? He said, why don't you come here to me? Why don't you come talk to me about that? Why don't you come lay that down at my feet? And just as he's doing that, man, what a praise that we as a people can just so freely come to God and pour our hearts out to him and say, oh God, I know that I try to do this too often on my own, but would you do this, God? As you guys are praying around this altar, some of you are praying in your seat, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to ask you who are around this altar, those of you in your seats, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you say, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, then I want to just simply say to you, it's very simple. It's very straightforward, the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is this. Because you have rebelled against God, God calls that sin. When you do anything he tells you not to do, that's sin. And he says, if you won't obey me, that's sin. Sin deserves to be punished. And because God is a perfect and righteous judge, he promises that all injustice, all sin, all wrongdoing will be punished by him one day. Now, here's the great and glorious message out of that brokenness. See, in that moment, we feel hopeless because we're sinners and we deserve punishment. But the truth of the matter is, God loves you with an incredible love. His love was proven once and for all at Calvary. Because what God did is, He sent His Son. Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. And at the end of that perfect life, every sin that you've ever committed, He took the punishment for. You see, God is a just judge. He's going to punish every sin. And He says, I will punish it. But He doesn't say it has to be punished out on you. He says, I will punish my Son in your place. And Jesus died taking your punishment, taking my punishment, taking the punishment of the whole world. Listen to me. Man, this is incredible. After He died, He rose again. When He rose again, that was the Father's declaration to all of time and history that what Jesus had done had made a way for sinful people like me and you to be raised from the dead of our sin, to have eternal life. And this morning, you might be sitting here dead in your sin, but the Spirit of God has woken you up this morning. And you say, Preacher, I need eternal life. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need salvation this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, I got to be saved this morning. I don't want to leave here without salvation. Would you raise your hand? Look up here at me. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. There's nothing to fear in it. It's only the greatest blessing in all of your life. Would you do that? Anybody here, young or old, would you just slip your hand up and say, I need to be saved? Is there anybody here? Father God, we just want to come right now. We thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Son in us. Lord, for every believer in this room, I pray that that knowledge of our own weakness and failures would not be the thing that discourages us when Satan attacks with it, but rather it would be what we would stand up and say, yes, I am weak. Yes, I cannot do this on my own. But praise God, I'm not alone. And I'm not on my own. But I've got Jesus. Lord, would You root every heart deep in Your Son? Would You build and construct our lives into being a monument to Your glory, not to ours? And God, would You just please Yourself by the way that You work in and through us? Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who is above all things. All power and all authority in heaven and on earth belong to Him. And we belong to Him. And He has authority over us. I pray that we would walk with Him and not with the world. That we would be just shining lights for Your glory. And that through it all, we would just abound with thanksgiving, knowing that it is all the work that You have done and nothing that we have done. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Spirit, for working in us and accomplishing all of this on our behalf when we were powerless to do it on our own. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.